The following programming is sponsored by Bruce Grossinger. The views expressed do not necessarily reflect the views of this station, its management, or Beasley Media Group.
The Sports Doctor is on the air. Dr. Bruce Grossinger with Rover Sports Tuesday evenings at 7:30 on WWDB. Dr. Bruce and the Rover crew blend sports and pop culture to keep you entertained and thinking. Brought to you by the Philadelphia Regenerative Medicine and Stem Cell Institute, where Dr. Grossinger and his team help athletes and chronic pain sufferers heal faster and stronger, often without the need for drugs or surgery. Visit online at phillysportsdoc.com and tune in to WWDB Tuesday nights at 7:30 for Rover Sports.
It's that time again. Welcome in to Rover Sports. A lot to talk about. We've got Spencer Grossinger, Charlie Bowles logging in, and we've got our two great producers, Colin Newby for the station. And that's WWDBAM.com, as well as, of course, 97.5 HD2. I'd like to lead off with something we don't usually lead off with, which I think is one of the most impactful stories that we've had in sports, and that is the arrest of the world's best golfer, Scottie Scheffler. The morning hours, 6 a.m., Louisville, Kentucky, the Valhalla Golf Course. Shocking news. Spencer, I want to hear your take, then we'll work it around the horn to Charlie. Go ahead, Spence. What did you see there?
Yeah, I mean, it was so shocking because Scottie Scheffler, you know, American golfer and known as really the good guy in golf and known as somebody who brushes away all controversy and is even labeled as somebody that they want to even show more emotion because he's just so flatlined and live such a good, you know, family life that, you know, you would never expect him to ever be involved with law enforcement. And he was playing such a great tournament. And the fact that he could get arrested, you know, then all the facts needed to come out about how he was arrested and how, you know, it wasn't a situation where Scottie like necessarily inflicted something completely illegal. And how nobody knew that it was Scottie Scheffler, it just was wild, and I'm sure we're going to get into it a little bit.
Yeah, I'm gonna paint the scenario that I'm gonna throw it to Charlie. This is a scenario. It's 5:30 a.m. on Friday, the morning before the PGA tournament, a major tournament, the second major at Valhalla. There's a terrible tragedy. A shuttle bus hits somebody who I understand is a worker, a guy named Mr. Mills. Do you know his first name? I think it's John Mills. That's his name, John Mills. A 59-year-old guy who's just a terrible occurrence, and he's killed by trying to cross a lane and a shuttle bus driver hitting him. So what does that cause? The police just surge into the scene. They close the entrance to the golf course. And there's gridlock there. And the story is Scottie Scheffler is driving in a marked car for the PGA, like a courtesy car, and he has a credential. So he's thinking about trying to tee off, prepare for his round, and he's got an early morning tee off. And apparently the facts are that one of the police officers waved him through, and then he gets to a second police officer. The police officers are wearing these bright yellow pennies, if you like, if you know, you played basketball, pennies. They don't look like police officers. They look like security guards, like Paul Blart, Mall Cop. And so apparently what happened was the cop asked Scottie Scheffler to stop. Scott, and remember, it's raining. It's dark. There's lights everywhere. It's complete chaos, and it's morning. And apparently, Scottie Scheffler didn't yield, actually. And so this cop latched onto the side of his car like Spider-Man and just held onto the car while Scottie drove, I think, 30 feet, which is 10 yards. You know, I'm sure he was, we'll talk about it. Then the cop basically put his arm through the window. Scottie stopped the car. He grabs Scheffler's arm. and then pulled him out of the vehicle, then basically slammed him against the vehicle, put him in handcuffs, and arrested him. Apparently, while doing this, the police officer, not being Spider-Man and not being a superhero, fell to the ground, apparently injured his wrist and I think his knee, and he went to the hospital. But not catastrophic injuries, but injuries. So the upshot of this is that Scottie Scheffler was charged with four different conditions, four different violations, including a felony injuring a police officer, assaulting a police officer. And that really is his car. And so that's what happened. He got arrested. He got put in a yellow jumpsuit, taken into the Louisville Police Department, and eventually released just in time to play his round and to play actually a 500 par round and to remain in contention for the lead. Charlie, this is a bizarre story. I've tried to set the stage for the discussion with Rover Sports. What did you make of this whole thing?
I think it's an indictment on the whole PGA. I mean, can you imagine Jalen Hurts showing up for the NFC Championship and not being able to get in? Where is the security? We're talking about the number one golfer in the world. How in the world does he not have an escort? Like, I mean, like you said, even the announcers in football get met at the airport and get a direct, you know, for a preseason game, forget a playoff game. The fact that this PGA, these guys are independent contractors, and the fact that they don't have individual security meeting them, getting them to the event safe, and getting them back to wherever they're going, the airport or wherever safe, is a real, real black eye on the PGA, I think. I think it's honestly embarrassing that they run their business like this.
I completely agree. I was shocked that Scottie Scheffler was not a passenger with somebody who was an expert. The moment that this happened, the PGA Tour needed to alert all the players somehow. Like every single player needed to be texted and emailed, hey, there's somebody who's been tragically killed. The tournament will be teeing off at 10 o'clock so that you don't need to hurry. But the fact that Scottie Scheffler's driving just like an actual fan, and I know that he has a marked vehicle, but like you mentioned also how there's other golfers, like Will Zalatoris is a great golfer. He makes millions of dollars. He's a top 20 player. He was walking. So it's so unorganized. You have all these different golfers. And that's why I'm surprised that more golfers didn't run into this problem. Now, it's absolutely insane that a guy would strap himself to Scottie's car. Gosh, I don't know if I want to blame Scheffler at all, but he really could have killed this guy. I mean, to go 10 yards, you're driving a vehicle. How did this guy not fall off a vehicle? How did
he
Scheffler,
probably did? He hurt himself.
And Scheffler,
How
did Scheffler also not get injured from this altercation, getting thrown against the car? It's unbelievable how he was able to golf. It's just so, it's so traumatic on so many levels. I mean, the police officer maybe did not know it was Scheffler, but what was the big deal about a golfer riding his car? Why did he feel the need to have to, you know, hurl himself onto the car? It wasn't like there was a bomb threat or anything like that.
Yes. So I'm going to build on what you just said.
Yeah.
I think this is, listen, there's nobody more respectful of police officers than us. But we know in every apple cart, there's a bad apple. It seems to me that this officer breached made many mistakes here. Okay. Number one mistake is not identifying the fact that this was a marked car. Number two was just being over-aggressive. There's no need to latch on to somebody's car. If this was, let's say, a fan, and they happened to get past his one checkpoint, they would have gotten to another checkpoint. There's no indication that this car was involved in the homicide. And the fact of the matter is, he had a credential that he showed to one of the other police officers They waved him through, and he acted reasonably, I believe, at all times. So I believe this officer was wrong. And also, the officer did not have a body cam. So if you're working as a police officer, if he had a body cam and Scottie Scheffler overtly was disrespectful to him, or you would have seen it on the body cam. Mm-hmm. So the fact that so I have a big problem with the Louisville police. I have a big problem with this officer. I've got a big problem with the Louisville police in that he was supposed to be arraigned on Tuesday, actually, which is today or whenever the show is aired. But instead of dropping the charges, they're still persisting with charges. So Scottie Scheffler's got to go back to Louisville, Kentucky. He's got to face charges for this incident. Scottie Scheffler has already been, in my view, injured. Why? Because he was traumatized by this event. We know who Scottie Scheffler is. There's no evidence he did anything wrong. He may have. It's raining. It's dark. There's chaos. And somebody grabs onto your car,
yeah,
and you drive 10 feet from here to there, or whatever, however far, 10 yards from here to there.
He maybe thought someone was breaking into his car, was rogue. It sounds so much like self-defense.
Well, he wasn't defending himself. He just was confused, and he said...
He had no idea.
It was chaotic. So, in my view, it's a blemish on this police officer. Still arrested him, even... But the thing about Scottie Scheffler, you got to give him credit. He didn't say, he could have easily said this, I'm Scottie Scheffler. You can't arrest me. He didn't. He was probably in shock. But Scottie Scheffler is 100. He could have. He said, I'm Scottie Scheffler. I'm playing the tournament. I mean, he might have identified himself as a golfer. We don't have an audio.
Let me ask you this question.
Go ahead.
So I guess that they were in an altercation. Because when you get pulled over for like even a speeding ticket, the cop will take your license and then will process you, right? So Scheffler, in this instant, there was no processing of Scottie Scheffler. The guy couldn't even Google Scottie Scheffler. I mean, he was working as a PGA tournament cop, but he didn't know what a courtesy car was. He didn't even know this was a golfer. He couldn't even Google in his car like Scottie Scheffler, you know, PGA tour.
This is rapid. Okay. In the cop's defense. Okay. Here's the deal. The same chaos that affected the environment of Scheffler, it's the same environment that affected the police officer. He's trying to do his job. I have no doubt about it. It's raining. So when it's raining, it's harder to see. He's not marked as a police officer. He's not wearing blue. He looked like he should be a greeter at Walmart. I saw the outfit. Now, that's not his fault. The police officer didn't say, I'm going to wear this. He was conforming to others. So right. It's just a series of bad events. But in my view, this was a mistake. So they arrested him. The good news is, and he was so traumatized, Scottie Scheffler's never been to jail. He has no record. They actually put him in handcuffs, got a mugshot, fingerprinted him.
Yeah, and an orange jumpsuit.
And then he had to literally be in jail where he was stretching for the tournament. And after that, he went there and played. And I think it's heinous that they should have dropped charges here. There's so many mitigating circumstances that to make Scottie Scheffler fly back to Louisville, Kentucky, I think is horrible.
I think it's awful. I think that they need to get away with it.
What happens here. There's people who commit violent crimes all the time. They commit violent crimes. They shoplift. They do everything. And nothing happens to them. They don't get charged. At Penn, for instance, I'm critical. Here in Philadelphia, there's people that broke into a building at Penn. They broke into it, put their fists through it. They occupied a building. And Larry Krasner, who is, I don't even have words to say on air, even on a podcast, or certainly not FCC words, to describe my feelings, to him dropping charges for those people that are literally human excrement. Those people who were here, they're not even students, people who disrupted my daughter's school at the University of Pennsylvania. I don't even have words for them. But the fact of the matter is, this is Scottie Scheffler.
Yeah.
He's got a wife and a little baby at home named Bennett. He immediately went on, he wasn't defensive, he immediately after the round, before and after the round, was open with the press and said it was chaos. He didn't blame the police officer. When he went to the police station, he was perfectly calm. His heart rate was up. But you know what really happened? You know the tragedy of it? Not a tragedy. On Saturday, okay, so Scottie Scheffler was in shock. We know people who could do this, where we could look at the Michael Jordan game when he's got a fever. He was able to play through that adversity.
Adrenaline,
okay? But however, when he went home Friday night after the round, he knew he was still facing an arraignment for a felony. Guess how he played on Saturday? Terrible.
Worst round of his year, worst round in years.
And that's the fault of the first five holes. That's the fault of the Cowboy overly aggressive police officer. It's the fault of the Louisville Police Department, the mayor, and even the governor of Kentucky, who had the ability to intervene and say, this is ludicrous. There's mitigating circumstances. Drop the charges. If they would have dropped him, I think he still would have been under extreme pressure. Charlie, obviously we're having a fluid discussion. Excluding the PGA now, we already spoke about that. In other words, let's talk about the police officer and Scotty Scheffler. Let's focus on those two elements of this alleged crime. Let's hear you talk about it. Go ahead.
Well, not defending the cop, but you're not sure. Somebody had just been killed, and you're not sure how tense that really was. Was there confusion with the cops? Were there blame going to the cop? Were they trying to figure out whose fault it was, and they were trying to make sure that nothing like that happened again? Usually when there's something that serious that happens, everyone goes on high alert, and their buns get very tight. So, I mean, I'm not making an excuse because I think he took it too far, obviously. But at the end of the day, I can see why the altercation happened. What happened after that, again, probably could have been, you know, settled if they just spoke, you know, and talked it through. But it seemed like this cop was, you know, had his mind made up the second he approached Scotty Scheffler. He knew how this was going to end. Scheffler didn't. And yes. I think that, you know, and I do think the charges hopefully will be dropped by next week. Maybe that's why they postponed the initial hearing. But yeah, I mean, again, it looks really bad, and I don't think the PGA would ever pull out of that area. And as people were saying, but I think at the end of the day, the cop's human. He made a really poor decision. Again, he's not backing down from it either. So I think end of the day, I think what happened before probably there's probably every action is a reaction. And I think what happened was that incident probably got everyone on edge. And I think everyone was looking around wondering if they were to blame, and they weren't going to let anything like that happen again.
Yeah. I mean, I'll make an analogy. School shooting, campus goes on lockdown, and you're a police officer, and you see somebody running. You see somebody running through the campus. Now, maybe that's just a runner. Now, maybe a police officer under those circumstances would be on high alert, like you said. Maybe they didn't know. They knew there was a homicide. They knew somebody was driving. Then you see some guy cutting around and driving and not heeding the orders of the police officer. So it's hard. We have to get in the head of the police officer. But you'd think after all this analysis, there are some cameras, even though there are some cameras there. And there are witnesses. There's a guy named Darlington, who is a reporter for the Golf Channel.
An NFL reporter.
But he's also a reporter for the Golf Channel. He immediately interviewed. He was, you know, Scotty Scheffler was handcuffed in the car, and he said, help me, help me. He was helpless. That's got to be a terrible feeling. And then Darlington, I think he interviewed him also. And so I just think that in retrospect, this was just a big misunderstanding. It was chaos. I don't think the police officer, I mean, I don't know the exact facts, but I don't think the police officer should be fired. I think that's too extreme. Maybe he should be on some administrative leave if he breached any protocol. But given the scenario, it's raining, it's dark, there's a homicide, you see somebody cutting the line and driving, you don't know if this is a perpetrator. If he was a perpetrator who killed the guy, then everything he did would have been justified. And if in the police officer's head, there's suspicion, there's so many mitigating circumstances. But we know Scheffler was not the perpetrator. We know his only crime was trying to get to the practice tee and warm up before his round.
And nobody knew about the homicide.
Well, wait a second. You don't know that. The police officer, okay, you don't know that. Their police officers communicate.
Scheffler probably did not know about it.
Of course, I don't believe he did. But when you say nobody, you obviously don't mean that the police officers knew about it.
But Bruce, also, how close was Scheffler's car to the homicide is a very important matter that they will discuss.
Well, I think they will. So let's talk about it. I've obviously read it with interest. There's only one entrance and one exit, all right? And when there's one entrance and one exit, there's one road. And this guy was trying to cross. The guy who got killed, Mr. John Mills, was apparently trying to cross an area which was dedicated bus lane. Okay? So the bus driver was not charged. So it probably, you know, we can imagine, why wasn't he charged? It's ironic. The guy who actually killed the guy, the bus driver, in dark, rainy circumstances, there's some figure crossing through there who's not wearing one of these yellow or orange jumpsuits, and he kills the guy inadvertently, right?
Yes.
The guy was killed. He was dead at the scene, dead on arrival. So that's the story.
That's the story.
We are going to be talking a little bit about the PGA, but I found this, the whole story, so riveting. So what we're going to do is, we are at the top of the hour. We're going to take a brief station break. We're going to roll into some golf discussion, then some NBA discussion, and that will cover it for Rover. So everybody stay tuned.
WWDB 860 AM Philadelphia and WPEN HD2 Burlington, Philadelphia.
Welcome back to Rover Sports. My name is Sports Doc. This is posted on Bruce Grossinger Facebook, Slaughterhouse YouTube, also Phyllis Sports Doc YouTube, Phyllis Sports Doc Instagram, and all that. And Matthew Vito, who is our fine videographer, will be working with me directly to make sure that this is posted by tomorrow, come hell or low water. But in any event, having said that, it brings us again to the actual event itself, the PGA. I'll give you a brief recap, Ernie Johnson style. I'll throw it back to you and Kenny the Jet over there. What happened was Xander Schauffele wins his first major. He wins it by one stroke. He had to make an 8-foot putt that just caught the lip, and he won, and there was a lot of pressure on him, and he beat Bryson DeChambeau to win his first PGA event. And it was exciting, and it went right down to the wire. And there were a lot of low scores, but you know what? This PGA event was riveting because you had players, you had Bryson DeChambeau coming from the LIV Tour, who shot his best tournament ever, 20 under. He's never done that anywhere. And so he had the best day of his life. Unfortunately, one guy was one stroke better. And I tip my hat to Xander Schauffele. We look at other golfers who fell off. We could look at Colin Morikawa,
yep,
who was right there, neck and neck the whole time. But Colin Morikawa couldn't buy a putt. He basically had all pars, one bogey, and that was it. And this course was playing real easy. These greens are flat. They're perfect. They're not hard to read. This is a wet course. You could stop everything. And the fact that Morikawa just missed time and time again short. So as being a golfer yourself,
yep,
if you're playing a tournament and you just can't get the ball to the hole, these are not slow greens. That's nerves. So Morikawa, who's won two majors, obviously nerves affected. Victor Hovland was very close. Victor Hovland, another great story, golf story. 3 weeks ago, Victor Hovland melted down at a PGA event where he literally had a 2-inch putt. It stabbed that putt in anger and missed it. That doesn't happen very often, you know, probably a handful of times per year. And then he went literally on a mental health break. So Victor Hovland, originally from Norway, who also obviously played golf here in the United States.
Yeah, won the FedEx Cup last year.
So
playoff
the
champ.
Fact that he literally melted down so much that he had to take a mental health break, but yet was able to rebound and come close to winning. What else did you see in the tournament? Some great subplots.
Well, I give Morikawa credit because he's still dialing in on his irons. But, you know, the game of golf's very competitive. But there's certain guys right now that for some reason they're in the prime of their careers, but they just can't hang in these majors. I mean, Justin Thomas hasn't been a factor in a very, very long time. Jordan Spieth, who won 3 major championships early in his career, could have won another Masters if he didn't choke at the 12th hole. He has 3 majors and he's in his 30s. He's just turned 30. He's been completely irrelevant. And that's been really, really shocking to see that happen. So there's a lot of golfers that are out there. I thought Brooks Koepka had a solid week. Maybe didn't perform on the last day that well, but at least he represented. John Rahm, from going to the LIV Tour, John Rahm was a superstar and hasn't factored in a lot with the PGA. So I thought that the course, I don't want them to change the golf balls up. Maybe if you add rough, you can make the course tougher. Also, the PGA being in May, it's not the biggest deal, but I kind of liked it. I was kind of used to it in August. I guess being in May is a little bit strange for me, because then when the British is open, you have a huge void when the British is over. But I thought it was a really good tournament. Now, Xander, I'm going to throw it to Charlie. Xander didn't really feel... I mean, Xander never was losing ever. It wasn't like Bryson.
He went wire to wire.
But it wasn't like Bryson and Hovland had a two-stroke lead and he needed to come back. But Xander still needed to be aggressive and score. And maybe, Charlie, if Xander had a big three-stroke lead and he just needed to par out, maybe that's a harder way to go than if you're in a three-horse race that like he was. What did you think of Schauffele? Do you trust Schauffele more now, or do you just think he had a good week at Valhalla Golf Club?
Well, that was official win number 4 for me this year on the golf. I picked Schauffele.
Congratulations.
Made some money there. But look, Schauffele also almost went wire to wire the week before, which again, a lot of people forget. This guy has, if you look at his stats, is playing as well as Scheffler, was the best player without a major. I mean, the guy literally has been giving tournaments away all year. I think this, again, the way he played on Sunday, I mean, he shot 65 on Sunday. DeChambeau came in, shot 7 under, almost caught him. I mean, that putt, I think, will solidify him. And I think that is onward and upward for Schauffele, man. I think he will honestly challenge Scheffler for the number one player in the world over the next 12 months. I think he had this mental block. He just couldn't win the big one, and he finally did. The guy is an exceptional player. I mean, again, he's been leading, I think, 4 or 5 tournaments this year. Again, the week before he was up. End of the day, like I said, I think that this Sunday, you know, going into Sunday, I think a lot of people wrote him off. Morikawa always kills himself with the putter, man. Always. He's great with the irons. He's great off the tee. He just, again, look, putting's the name of the game, whether you're playing at Rolling Green or you're playing in a major. And I think that Schauffele right now, to me, has the potential. He's 1A. Scheffler's number 1. But I think Schauffele is 1A right now.
Well, you know what? Your conclusion is borne out by the world rankings, because Schauffele is number 2. This propelled him because he's been so close. He is number 2 in the world rankings. And looking at Schauffele from a golf standpoint, so I'm looking at the fans of Rover Sports. There's a lot of golfers out here. Schauffele is about 5'9", about my height, and probably weighs about the same amount. He probably weighs about 180, 185. He's not a big guy, but his ball speed is 180 miles per hour. 180 miles per hour. So that means... And he has the ability to control his ball off the tee. He could draw it or fade it. He likes to fade the ball. His irons are impeccable. He really has no flaws. He is a guy whose putting has always been good. His wedge game is good. And so I don't really see a weakness. He's played on many Ryder Cups. He's a very well-liked guy. Everybody loves Xander. I remember when they won the Ryder Cup, I remember Dustin Johnson and him just drinking a lot of beer. And Schauffele was just a funny guy, and I think he's a very likable guy. And I was really happy to see him get the monkey off his back. And I agree with Charlie. I think there's a lot of more good things. There's a lot more to come for Schauffele. Once you get that major off your back, this is going to be blue skies ahead. There's really nothing holding
him
back.
I want to give
Spence,
a counterpoint.
What do you think?
I'll give a counterpoint. But the odds of Schauffele winning 2 to 3 more majors against the field that's as stacked as this, it's just going to be really hard. Now, this year is going to be his best chance because he's playing so well. But a guy that I thought was similar to Schauffele was Matt Fitzpatrick, who won the U.S. Open. And Matt also hit it a long way. And that's what impressed me about Schauffele. I have to admit, I haven't been as dialed in the PGA as maybe Charlie. I did not know Schauffele hit the ball 330 or 325. Morikawa always fades it. He's always at 295. So distance is the one Achilles heel with Morikawa, and maybe putting, because when Morikawa won the British, his putting was exceptional. Now, Xander, I've never noticed Xander being an absolutely deadly long putter, like a guy that would pour in like 20-footers, 25-footers. His short game, I thought, was fine. I always imagined him solid. But his iron play, maybe Charlie can attest to it. Yeah, I'll ask you, Charlie. His long iron play is just unbelievable. And the guy has all the distance in the world. His swing, too, is not like Jordan Spieth.
What do you see?
Spieth's swing is a little bit hokey, very wristy, very changes it all the time. I think Shoffley's swing is repeatable. And that's good news, isn't it, Charlie? That Shoffley seems like a repeatable swing and seems like somebody who can attract consistent results. Wouldn't you agree with that? Patrick Cantlay, let's talk about Cantlay and Shoffley. They're tight. Cantlay probably doesn't have the distance of Xander. Maybe would you say that?
I totally agree. And I think Shoffley has the right mental approach. You never heard him. Again, a lot of people were down on him, again, because I follow golf very closely, and there were a lot of people talking about him. Remember, he almost went wire to wire the week before, and a lot of people after that were like, this guy will never win the big one, and I was hesitant. Everything told me Shoffley this week, and I'm like, God, I don't want to lose money on this guy again, and I said, you know what? Follow the numbers, and I think right now, I'm curious to see. A couple weeks ago, you wouldn't think of anyone challenging Scheffler. I mean, Scheffler's odds to win a golf tournament are so crazy. This week, he's 2.5 to 1. You rarely see anything less than 8 or 9 to 1. Scheffler, I think, honestly, his mental attitude. You're right, Spence. He simplifies the game. It just everything about him screams that he's going to be again. He's going to be in the top 5 or 6 players for years to come.
Well, this Simplify the Game relates to a quick segue at Rover Sports. As we move to NBA playoffs, I'll tell you Simplify the Game. Anthony Edwards, Carl Anthony Towns, the Catman, an incredible turn of events. Being down 20 points to the defending champion, Denver Nuggets, and coming back and prevailing in Denver was an incredible finish. And I personally am a huge Wolves fan, much like Charles Barkley. I'm going to howl for the Wolves. They're a real fun team, and I'm ready to see the Wolves play. And I'm not a Dallas Mavericks fan, and that game is going to be tomorrow night. Tonight is obviously the first game, which is the Pacers. So I am a Sixers fan, so I always root against the Celtics. And the Pacers I'm indifferent about, but I'll be a Pacers fan against the Celtics. Number one, I'm a huge Wolves guy. I love to see the Wolves hoist that trophy, that Larry O'Brien trophy. Spence,
yeah.
And again, let's talk about what you saw. We didn't really talk about the Knicks losing. We can say they ran out of gas. They were really injured. Jalen Brunson broke his hand and still, you know, in a very admirable way, played. But the Knicks really had they just ran out of gas. They had no bigs. And Indiana, to their credit, guys like Halliburton just shot the cover off the ball, and they blew them out. They blew them out at MSG. That doesn't happen too often in Game 7. Go ahead.
I'm kind of excited to see a little bit of Indiana because they just play such a funky style, Bruce. They play like West Virginia. They'll have TJ McConnell press you full court, and then they're always gunning in fast break. You know, they're always running. So, you know, Rick Pitino said this too, in a tournament setting, you know, guys get nervous in the half court when you slow the game down. But if you're just running the whole time, like if you're playing basketball and you're just running and you're just jacking shots, you're not going to have time to get nervous and think about it. And, you know, Miles Turner could stretch the floor. Indiana's never had anybody that you really, really care about. I'd say the general public would agree. You have Siakam. You have Turner. Halliburton's too young. Hasn't really gone through those scars. So I loved the Novanick story. I loved fighting back against people that were, you know, that were criticizing Thibodeau because – what is our big criticism is load management. It's stars taking over the NBA, and Jalen Brunson just is an incredible guy. I mean, doesn't complain about anything. Josh Hart injures his groin. The Knicks are absolute warriors. DiVincenzo, the Knicks were warriors, and it would have been so much fun to see them continue. However, I think Indiana gives Boston a better series. I'll tell you this before we kick it to Charlie. The one great thing about now Denver leaving is that we're not going to have an NBA champion It's going to go back 13 years till the latest NBA championship, the Mavericks. The Celtics won in 08. The Pacers, I can't even remember. It has to be 25 years, maybe never.
Maybe never.
And then the Wolves, never. So we're getting a new title. Somebody's going to hoist a new new champion will be crowned.
Yep, sure. And as we spoke about last week with Charlie, there is a whole new cadre of stars coming out. Tyrese Halliburton is part of that. Anthony Edwards is just a great guy, and I think he's amazing. And while Adam Silver might cringe at all the cursing that happens and all the F-bombs and stuff, if you look at Cat, who's a big teddy bear, Karl-Anthony Towns and Edwards, they are just – reminds me of Kenny the Jet and Charles Barkley. Their press conferences are must-see. So I think even the average basketball fan is going to love Edwards and Ant-Man. And likewise – When you look at Rick Carlisle, who's really a good coach, who was a great player. I remember when he had a good head of hair. That was a long time ago. But Rick Carlisle was a very good forward in the NBA. And if you listen to him, he's from an X's and O's standpoint, a really good coach. So you've got the Celtics, who just had the chalk of the whole year. As far as their injuries, Is there a big guy coming back?
I think that Porzingis, I think he might be out. He might be out.
Charlie will know this. Charlie, is Porzingis playing tonight?
He's out the first two games.
Okay. So that evens things up a bit. Porzingis is a great player. He had a calf strain, which in certain ways, it's not a serious injury, but anybody who's had a calf strain, you can't run and it's painful. It's an annoying injury.
Charlie, I'll ask you this. I mean, the Celtics, they blew games two at home both series. Is there a way? I mean, I guess Indiana, I'd say 1.5's maybe the line on games. Charlie, do you think they can at least win two games, the Pacers, in the series?
I think they can win at least one or two games, yeah. I mean, Celtics had a great regular season, but they haven't really performed to that level in the playoffs yet. They've had some mental breakdowns in the last couple of series. I think Boston will advance, but I think Indiana is a scrappy team, man. I think they'll get one at home, and then we'll see what happens. Maybe they can steal one on the road. Game one is always interesting. You know what I mean? They can come in and steal a game today. It could be a whole new series. I think Boston moves on in five or six, but I do think Indiana can win a game.
And the thing about the West is, even if it's the Pacers, and I don't really love the Mavericks, but I would respect the Mavericks because they beat Oklahoma City. Like, I'm probably rooting for the Western Conference champion to win the NBA Finals. I just think they're so much more deserving.
I would say that. Again, I love the Wolves. I don't like them. I love them.
Yeah.
And I love to see them beat Denver. And I respect Denver a ton.
Or Dallas or Denver.
Denver. No, I'm talking about Denver. I respected Jokic, a very classy guy. Classy in defeat. Jamal Murray, classy in defeat. I love the coach, who's a starchy guy.
Mike Malone.
If you want to see something funny, go to YouTube and watch him tear apart a reporter who asked him, what's it like to blow a 20-point lead? And he appropriately just tore the guy a new orifice. And so I don't dislike that, but I like to see a turnover. I've seen enough of the Nuggets winning. And I love the fact if the Wolves could beat the Mavericks, I will be so in on them beating either the Pacers or the Celtics, because they are a really fun team, even though they had a great season. Definitely an underdog against the Celtics.
Charlie, I got to ask you this. I mean, Anthony Edwards, he's just himself. You know, I like that. You know, it's not he's becoming a star, but it's not like the PR people are telling him, you can't wear, you know, white beater to the show or to the post game. And it just seems like Edwards is fun. And have you ever seen a star like Edwards, who's the first overall pick, like really pump up his teammates and seem to love a city like Minneapolis? Because when Shaq was in Orlando, you remember Shaq bouncing to L.A. or LeBron bouncing to Miami. Like, don't you think Edwards loves Minnesota? And isn't that what's so interesting maybe about, you know, Edwards himself?
It's almost Bryce Harper-esque. I also think if Philly had a real opportunity with Jimmy Butler and blew it, you know, they'll never be able to take that back when they had a chance to lock him up and get rid of Tobias Harris. I think Jimmy Butler wanted to be here. I think the city loved him, and I think they blew it. Edwards obviously is much younger. He's younger in his career, and let's I guess we'll wait and see when he's up for a long-term extension how much he actually really does love Minnesota versus the tug from like a Knicks or an L.A. to go back in a big spotlight. But yeah, right now it's a huge love affair, especially if they can pull it off and get to the finals. I mean, but yeah, this guy's going to be wanted by everybody when he's up for a new contract. So I guess that's when you'll see how much he loves Minnesota.
And then of course the media is going to try to, I mean, we build these guys up, but then, you know, if he wins, people are going to pick holes. And then even with a guy like Patrick Mahomes, he wins one, but then, you know, you start looking at Mahomes and you know, even his brother Mahomes, his family gets criticized. And then when you start winning like that, but the thing I would love for this Wolves team is you have Gobert's always been a bad offensive player. And in Utah, I didn't like him. And guess what? He lost in the playoffs. Karl Anthony Towns commits dumb fouls, never has won at a high level. But you know what, guy? So them winning, Bruce, would change the narrative of their careers if Towns and Gobert won. And then how about, Bruce, this guy? A guy who's the most approved and loved player in the NBA, 100% approval rating, the ultimate professional. If Mike Conley gets a championship, he could even be a Hall of Fame guy. That's how much this would mean to Mike Conley.
Mike Conley played a lot in Memphis. Very likable guy. Just a very reliable point guard. And even in these games, he's really been the chess master. He's been the quarterback. And I think he's got to be 34, 35. He can't be much younger than that.
Yeah.
So as players age in the league, they even become more liked. And the fact that Conley suffered an injury, he suffered, I believe, an Achilles injury on the last play of a game. Not a torn Achilles, of course. We wouldn't be talking about him now. But a bad Achilles tendonitis. It came back. It played so bravely, and all of it, Rudy Gobert especially, you think of him as a choker, not an offensive guy. The one defining play in that game was that turn away, that fadeaway jumper with 0 seconds left on the shot clock, nothing but net, and everybody, all the Wolves point to that play as a defining play. Would you agree with that, Spence?
I would absolutely agree, because that's a momentum-changing play. And really, Aaron Gordon and Michael Porter didn't show up for Denver. And I thought, you know, Charlie, I thought that Jokic was inevitable. I mean, game five, Jokic was, that might have been one of the greatest games you've ever seen somebody play. It's kind of a shame somebody had to lose this series. It would have been a great Western Conference Finals. These are so deserving. But Charlie, I guess it came down to Aaron Gordon not shooting those threes. And I mean, what a comeback for Minnesota to not give up.
Hey, Denver was up big and couldn't finish, and I was more shocked than anybody. I thought Denver was going to cruise to the finals. I thought it was going to be Denver-Boston. I was 100% wrong. Especially having the lead like in late second quarter, I mean, they could have just tied the noose and ended that. I just shocking the way they came back. I mean, maybe that's due to them being young and not knowing, you know, hey, look, they didn't know any better. They just came back. They didn't feel the pressure.
You know, one thing that I was surprised about, Michael Malone mentioned that the team was fatigued because they went through the whole championship run. They went through the whole regular season, and he mentioned they had no gas. So that's unusual, especially watching the TNT postgame guys. Like they can't imagine. Like Kenny the Jet said when he came back, they went back to back with the Houston Rockets. He couldn't believe that anybody would mention that. And also Jamal Murray also mentioned that he was fatigued. So that was, when I hear a comment like that, it's a little unusual. But if I look at the Wolves, they definitely were not fatigued. And Karl Anthony Towns is kind of a lumbering guy. Certainly Gobert is, you know, is not a tremendous athlete. But the fact that Edwards just willed him the victory, and Conley, it's just it's a really fun team to root for. And I can't wait. Again, and this game, we're going to be watching. I like the fact they're alternating games leading up to the championship. So I personally have enjoyed these NBA playoffs as much as any. Considering the Sixers are not involved in it, I think it's an excellent display.
Well, Game 6 gave him confidence winning by 50. But, Charlie, I want you to talk. you know, and inform the viewers on the Mavericks. And I've been impressed with their defense. And Derek Lively is a local Philly guy, went to Duke. He's a rookie. He's impacting the game. What
We've
do you
got
think
about 60
the,
seconds,
what
Charlie?
What do you think about the Dallas Mavericks?
Give us 60 seconds of Mavericks.
I think aside from Luke and Kyrie, the key has been PJ Washington. I mean, this guy's had a coming out party this playoff. He has been as consistent as anyone else in the playoffs. I mean, you know, he's almost like their big three. I mean, I think at the end of the day, this series is going to go deep. I don't think anybody runs away with it. Kyrie Irving, again, is 14-0 in closeout games if they get to that point. I am very excited, although, again, I think the NBA is crying because it's not Denver going to be Denver and Boston, or the Knicks in Boston, then the Denver and Boston. I think that they're crying. But for anybody who's really tuned in like us, I think that this Minnesota-Dallas series is going to be epic.
Yeah, I truly believe that, and I believe a lot of people like myself, I didn't really watch any, you know, Wolves basketball. I know Spencer watches a lot, but I just fell in love with this team. So I think even a casual fan who watches Anthony Edwards, who watches Karl Anthony Towns, who's just a really funny, kind of a funky player, always gets in foul trouble, you root for guys. You can relate to guys like that. Like, I remember when I played, I was diving on the floor the whole time. Luckily, they weren't calling fouls in the JCC League, or I would have fouled out every time. But I just want to just wrap this show up by saying thank you. Thank you, thank you to all the listeners and viewers of Facebook, YouTube, also WWDB. I want to thank Colin for really a smooth show, for Matt Vito, Spencer G, Charlie Bowles, great insight. Really enjoyed the show. The time went quickly. And as always, we'll be back next week. We are Rover Sports. Good night and good sports.
The Sports Doctor is on the air. Dr. Bruce Grossinger with Rover Sports Tuesday evenings at 7:30 on WWDB. Dr. Bruce and the Rover crew blend sports and pop culture to keep you entertained and thinking. Brought to you by the Philadelphia Regenerative Medicine and Stem Cell Institute, where Dr. Grossinger and his team help athletes and chronic pain sufferers heal faster and stronger, often without the need for drugs or surgery. Visit online at phillysportsdoc.com and tune in to WWDB Tuesday nights at 7:30 for Rover Sports.
The future depends on teachers. Every day, teachers are shaping our tomorrows, starting their students on journeys that will change the course of history. Right now, in a classroom somewhere in the United States, there's a teacher inspiring a future scientist who will make preventing pandemics their life's work, sharpening the mind of an aspiring environmentalist who will help combat climate change, and generating possibilities for a student who'll be the first in their family to graduate college. It all starts with teachers who meet challenges with creativity, who reinvent education for the future, who work towards a school system that lifts up every child, regardless of race, income, or zip code, and who enable the full potential of our students, our communities, and our country. Explore a career that leaves a legacy you can be proud of. Shape the future. Teach. Learn more and receive free support at teach.org.
We are there in your community. Small business owners, mechanics, police officers, homemakers. And we are there serving our nation in the Air Force Reserve. When medical emergencies arise, we meet the challenge. In cybersecurity, protecting and defending in cyberspace. When natural disasters happen, we are there in space. As a strong part of the nation's defense, we are there in the community, and we are there for our nation. We share a vision to make a difference, united and focused, taking pride in being there in service of our country. We are Reserve Citizen Airmen, and we are there with over 180 different jobs to serve your country. Air Force Reserve. Go to AFReserve.com for more information.
Joe Buck and John Smoltz welcoming you back to the City Center Convenience Mart. Well, John, the stage is set for the final transaction.
That's right, Joe. Heather's moment has arrived, and you just hope all that training pays off.
Heather lays down her purchase, but Randy rings it up as slowly as he can.
He is a wily veteran.
It gives Heather's eyes the chance to wander.
Uh-oh.
Yep, she's looking at the cigarettes.
There's nothing good back there. Quit now, and in 5 years, your odds of getting certain cancers drop 50%.
Meanwhile, Randy's stone-faced. He's giving nothing away. He just stands there, wetting his cashier's finger on that sponge.
Heather toes the rubber.
Here we go. Heather's arm is in motion. But instead of pointing at the back wall, she just grabs the gum off the counter.
That's a slick move.
Heather, back, back, back. She is out of there. Even Randy tips his cap to Heather. Stand Up to Cancer and Rally wants you to reduce your risk for cancer.
Go to takeahealthystand.org.
It's pouring rain. It's real dark outside. Your heart starts beating really, really fast. You've never done anything so hard in your life. This is boot camp. This is the real thing now. It's such extreme pain, you don't understand how you can finish. I began to feel that there was no way I was ever going to have my title, U.S. Marine. It takes special inner strength, courage, and desire to do this. I was just thinking, I'm so close. I'm so close. And when I finished, I was like, I'm done. I did it. The moment I will never forget is when this drill instructor that I admire so much comes up to me straight in front of me, put her arm on my shoulder and said, good morning, Marine.
PFC Summer Volkman became a Marine. Can you? Visit Marines.com or call 1-800-MARINES. The few, the proud, the Marines.
In 2007, Marine First Lieutenant Travis Manning was killed in Iraq after saving his wounded teammates. Travis's legacy lives on through the five words he spoke before leaving for his final deployment. If not me, then who? Words that today fuel the spirit of Travis Manion Foundation. Words that live in veterans, families of the fallen, and inspired civilians who go out of their way to find a way, who help others with the help of others, who bounce back after each setback, who make good on good intentions. Through Travis Manion Foundation, if not me, then who, are words that can live in you too. Show the world what your character is made of, because character is invisible until it's not. Find out how you can strengthen the character of your community alongside empowered veterans, families of the fallen, and inspired civilians at TravisManion.org. That's TravisManion.org.
The future depends on teachers. Every day, teachers are shaping our tomorrows, starting their students on journeys that will change the course of history. Right now, in a classroom somewhere in the United States, there's a teacher inspiring a future scientist who will make preventing pandemics their life's work, sharpening the mind of an aspiring environmentalist who will help combat climate change, and generating possibilities for a student who will be the first in their family to graduate college. It all starts with teachers who meet challenges with creativity, who reinvent education for the future, who work towards a school system that lifts up every child, regardless of race, income, or zip code, and who enable the full potential of our students, our communities, and our country. Explore a career that leaves a legacy you can be proud of. Shape the future. Teach. Learn more and receive free support at teach.org.
We are there in your community. Small business owners, mechanics, police officers, homemakers. And we are there serving our nation in the Air Force Reserve. When medical emergencies arise, we meet the challenge. In cybersecurity, protecting and defending in cyberspace. When natural disasters happen, we are there in space. As a strong part of the nation's defense, we are there in the community and we are there for our nation. We share a vision to make a difference, united and focused, taking pride in being there in service of our country. We are Reserve Citizen Airmen and we are there with over 180 different jobs to serve your country. Air Force Reserve. Go to AFReserve.com for more information.
Joe Buck and John Smoltz welcoming you back to the City Center Convenience Mart. Well, John, the stage is set for the final transaction.
That's right, Joe. Heather's moment has arrived, and you just hope all that training pays off.
Heather lays down her purchase, but Randy rings it up as slowly as he can.
He is a wily veteran.
It gives Heather's eyes the chance to wander.
Uh-oh.
Yep, she's looking at the cigarettes.
There's nothing good back there. Quit now, and in 5 years, your odds of getting certain cancers drop 50%.
Meanwhile, Randy's stone-faced. He's giving nothing away. He just stands there, wetting his cashier's finger on that sponge.
Heather toes the rubber.
Here we go. Heather's arm is in motion. But instead of pointing at the back wall, she just grabs the gum off the counter.
That's a slick move.
Heather, back, back, back. She is out of there. Even Randy tips his cap to Heather. Stand Up to Cancer and Rally wants you to reduce your risk for cancer.
Go to takeahealthystand.org.
It's pouring rain. It's real dark outside. Your heart starts beating really, really fast. You've never done anything so hard in your life. This is boot camp. This is the real thing now. It's such extreme pain, you don't understand how you can finish. I began to feel that there was no way I was ever going to have my title, U.S. Marine. It takes special inner strength, courage, and desire to do this. I was just thinking, I'm so close. I'm so close. And when I finished, I was like, I'm done. I did it. The moment I will never forget is when this drill instructor that I admire so much comes up to me straight in front of me, put her arm on my shoulder and said, good morning, Marine.
PFC Summer Volkman became a Marine. Can you? Visit Marines.com or call 1-800-MARINES. The few, the proud, the Marines.